Today.
Dailies Today
on 99.3 Nigeria Info.
And yes, we're back on Dailies Today. You can watch live on Facebook and on YouTube right now. Nigeria Info 99.3, if you're ready. We are ready here. Let's start with the Vanguard. We're on page 8 of the Vanguard newspaper. COVID-19 fake vaccines now in circulation. FG raises alarm.
Well, this is an alarm that we're also trying to help the federal government, you know, raise to let you know that there are fake vaccines. My good friend, my newly acquired friend, he had sent me some weeks back, showed me some WhatsApp message, somebody saying, oh, they could give you a COVID vaccination for this and for that, 50K and so on and so forth. My advice is you need to be very careful.
Very, very careful.
Vaccines are not things that you pick off the shelf, even with a prescription. Okay, there's a process. I happen to know there's a process, a tedious process that it goes through before it gets to your arm, okay? And the last thing you want is to be injected with something that could cause problems for you later in life. Maybe you could lose an eye or it could knock your engine or all kinds of things. So let us all be very, very careful. And that's the only thing we have to say about this. Let's all be very careful. The other part of the story talks about how Nigeria wants to key into 300 million doses of Sputnik vaccines that is being put aside for African countries. African leaders should be completely ashamed of themselves. We have become a beggar continent.
Beggars.
Other countries are buying vaccines for their people. We, our leaders, have worked all the money, and now they are shopping around looking for free vaccines. To put it in a very polite manner, we are looking for the poorest of the poor, and you can, I can jolly well assure you, Ajekule Mari, you know, you find somebody who understands Yoruba to translate that for you.
Leftover, that's what you get.
You should have given them. Let me give them an assignment this morning. Anyway, so that's the story on COVID. There's a story here that also talks about 54 cases of UK infection variants are in Nigeria. That is what the NDDC says. I don't think we would know any difference between these variants. A more frightening story here, believe you me. Let me read it. It's still in the same paper, Vanguard. It says, 1 in 5 persons infected with COVID-19 in Lagos and 2 others. It says no less than 1 in 5 individuals in Lagos, Enugu, and Nasarawa have been infected with SARS-CoV-19 virus. Okay? So if you're still in denial, this is what the figures are telling us. What 1 in 5 means, in case you don't know, is every time you line up 5 people, one of them must
one of them.
So if you have a population of, let us say, 30 million, how many people would be having COVID?
That's 1 in 5 of the 30. That's a lot. That's a lot of millions.
How do you, so what is the figure?
I don't know.
You don't know. Neither do I.
maybe. Okay,
I'm very bad with the arithmetic.
That's a big arithmetic. I think if you can solve it for us, send us a message on WhatsApp.
If the population is 30 million, I think the first person to send it, I will Roger the person.
Roger. If you can send it on Facebook and on YouTube.
YouTube, the very first one.
The very first correct one.
I go there.
How are we going to know that the person is correct? You know, we don't know.
No, we can do the calculation. Philip will know now.
Philip will do the calculation.
Philip will do. He might even win the 5K itself.
Okay. There you go. Keep that coming in. Let's stay with Vanguard, Jimmy. Let's stay with Vanguard. On page 10 of Vanguard. Alleged detention on Ondo government MBA bicker over probe of chief judge. Riders, she was not given fair hearing, says MBA. Judges aren't above the law, Ondo government.
Yeah, you know, it's a bit disgraceful. And I think that with due respect, maybe the chief judge in other climes would have stepped aside. Because it's her family matter that has now become a public issue, no matter the circumstances. Okay? It's her family matter that has become... And I do not think that the process that brought about I'm glad that the null prosecution was filed in the case of her brother. But I'm not too sure that the Attorney General did a job completely befitting of his status. Let me read what he said.
Yeah.
Okay? In the course of the probe, he said, I visited her office on the 17th of February to hear her side of the issue. The chief judge was not available, and her staff confirmed that she would not be available till Monday, 22nd February 2021. Was conscious of the fact that the four-year tenure of the current executive council will lapse very soon, and so on and so forth. Let me repeat what he said. Mm-hmm. I visited the office on 17th of February. Now, in 2021, you want to see a chief judge. Don't you put up a call, put a call through and book an appointment?
Yeah.
Why would an attorney general, a lawyer, a senior lawyer for that matter, why would he just hop in his car and head for the CJ's office? Who does that? It means that there's more than meets the eye in this matter. Mm. I mean, the guy, it was a slip, but it shows a lot. How would you just get up and then you want to go and, you know, go to the secretary and say, please, I want to see madam? It shows that there is more.
Are they relatives? Maybe their family.
Is indicted. I would like the governor to repeat this process. Let the null prosecute hold. The man has been freed or whatever it is. Mm. But I would like the governor, since his attorney general has made this lapse, to set up some other process that will bring this matter to rest and satisfy everybody. And I would like to respectfully call on the CJA to please do what is honorable, because this is not, it's not, a CJA is next to God in the eyes of the public, must be Spartan. Of course, we know what judges are these days. I'm sorry to say that, but we all know what they are. And I remember back in the 60s or 70s, I can't remember when it was, when a judge, for example, attended the church for his daughter's wedding, but didn't go for the reception.
Yep. Yep.
Dr. Taslim Elias of blessed memory taught me how to eat. I was the closest. I never saw him in our house or anything we did. If we were Christians then, he would have been my godfather. Those were the days, Sir Alexander, Justice Adefalas, in those days. I don't understand what's going on. And then a lawyer would say in a report, he wrote it in a report, that I visited the office of 17th of February. How are you going to convince me that he didn't know he would not meet her? Because at least the least he would do is call the secretary to Njema Damwambe.
Yeah.
So from Okumombo, he didn't do that. He headed for the place to make a point. He fall my hand. Luckily, the governor himself is a senior advocate.
That's right.
Senior advocate of Nigeria. I have no choice, Andrew. He's my very good friend. I hope he will do the needful and clear this mess once and for all, very quickly.
Yeah, I hope so too, honestly. So answers are pouring in already. We have about 113 answers in like 5 minutes.
But which one is first?
I can't do 5K times 113. But you are capable. Don't say that.
I'm capable, Baba. You know how much I get from this pocket of yours. Okay, who came first?
Who announced that at the end?
At the end. Let's announce it now before another.
Philip, have you done it? Philip is here, because we need to. But then we're getting similar answers, so I'm guessing that maybe perhaps, because that's what came to my mind. Honestly, it came to me. The figure actually came to my mind.
Who came first?
Let's see who is here. It's quite a lot. Okay.
Okay, you just give me the answer at the end of the. Let's move on to the.
Let's move on. While you're analyzing this, I'll try and sort through and. Scroll to the top. It's quite a lot. I'm struggling to get to the top. Let's go to the punch. Page 2 of the punch. Division among bandits delays abducted Niger schoolboy's release.
That is bound to happen. That is bound to happen. And. But this is the latest that we have, that the bandits, because it has now become a business. It looks as if those who carry out this thing know that at some point the government is going to buckle in and the government has to do something about this. But having said that, they're arguing amongst themselves how much is going to be and so on and so forth.
Yeah.
And that's what we have so far. And here the story says that Gumi's advice is a reward for criminals. That's Gumi, you know what, Shay Gumi. He advised her. And this story here, there's a development agenda for Western Nigeria, Dawn, and indeed I do also follow them. I get their
releases. That's right.
And they say that Southwest governors must ensure Amotekun carry sophisticated weapons. Of course, it stands to reason. If you are giving them double-barrel guns to go and face headsmen with the AK-47.
They stand no chance.
They stand no chance. Mm-mm. And I'm not, and I remember my good friend, we used to call him Red Elephant when we were in unit, like he fought during the war. He told me, he said, Otoromakwa, no bullet. Meaning that Ayeta and all these things, I don't know if he worked for AK-47, you know. I don't know. It stands to reason. What would the whole noise be about if you now sent them in with just arms, charms, cutlasses, and so on against people who carry AK? If ordinary herders can carry AK-47, then they should do so likewise. But that's the latest that we have amongst that. The bandits are still arguing over who gets what.
Mm, indeed. Let's stay with the Punch newspaper here on page 9. Families, friends, mourn NAF pilots, that's Air Force pilots. Others recount victims' journeys.
You know that over time, we've always had air disasters involving military aircraft.
Hmm.
The one that is so fresh in my mind, I think I lost two friends there, that took place during Babangida's time. And over time, and it has always been problem with the planes, helicopters, and so on and so forth. So the question is...
You didn't even leave out our own vice president.
We didn't even... Yes, you see? But for the anointing, itself, don't go.
Yeah.
But so it brings to question attitude towards maintenance and even acquisition of the aircraft. Do you remember during one probe, one Air Force chief, I can't remember, I can just remember faintly, was accused of having bought substandard aircraft.
Hmm.
I think there were some Tokumbo pieces put together, whatever it was, some nasty experience. We need to take a second look at our equipment. I'm sorry to say this, one little bits of information coming out from the military have complained about the quality and whatever of the equipment that we use in prosecuting these wars. Let me quickly add that it's not peculiar to Nigeria, even in the United States one time. Even Trump said one time that his generals wanted to make money off him. We need to do an audit of all our military equipment. It's not enough for you to tell us that you have 50 tanks. How many of them are functional? How many of them can fire a bullet? How many of them are well-oiled and well-serviced? The military needs to do... Now we have new service chiefs. I think they need to do a proper audit. We can't continue using our young people, under these circumstances. Now, I don't know. The report about this hasn't come out.
No, it hasn't.
We don't know whether it's pilot error or whether it's mechanical or whatever it is. But even at that, we would still love if we could do a proper audit of our equipment and how capable they are, you know, at a time like this. We sympathize with the... families of these pilots. Just a year ago, we lost that young lady also to other circumstances, and we do sympathize with them. I saw a video of the mom. Oh my God, it was. I couldn't watch it for too long, and so we sympathize with them. But that's the way it is. It is also surprising that none of them survived that crash.
No, none of them.
None of them survived.
The impact was too great. The report that we got.
But some initial people said that the pilot was very brave. He was able to steer the plane to a place that the casualties would be minimal, rather than fall on a on people's houses or whatever it is, or on the main road or whatever, you know. And I said that the crash plane was in Abuja to refuel. That's what the chief of air staff says. I said it was in Abuja to refuel and was on his way to Mina. And he had reported engine failure before it crashed short of the runway. May their souls rest in peace.
Amen to that. Now, let's stay with the Punch. There is an advertorial on the Punch newspaper put up by the LCC. I'm going to give that to Jimmy.
You quickly threw it at me.
Yeah, it's fine. It's fine.
Now, there's this advertorial put up by the LCC. Of course, you know the LCC is, they are the ones who handle the toll gates. And they put up various reasons why they believe, or just facts for you to know, why they believe that the toll gates should be retained. First and foremost, let me tell everybody where I stand. Where I stand is that in the first instance, we should not have had toll gates in that area. In the first instance, nobody puts toll gates right bang in the middle of the city. Second, is that the toll gates in that area had subjected loads and loads of our citizens to excruciating pain. Mm. You know, you leave your office at Eco Hotel area at 5 o'clock. You are going to Igboefon. You are going to Igboefon. Mm. It takes you an hour to even cross the toll gate. Who does that to his own people? My argument is that the Lagos State Government should take responsibility. Whatever he says here, the company argues is by Yomi Omomunwason.
Right.
He says that they are owing, they have debt obligations. They should sort that out with the Lagos State Government, because in the first instance, I'm sure Mr. Omomunwason would have known at that time that that was not the proper place to put a toll gate. Mm. It was economics that came into consideration. Let's be very honest with ourselves. If nobody puts a toll gate right bang in the middle, in the middle of the city, you might jolly well put a toll gate at Akponpon. Look from the stretch from there all the way to Ekpe. Look at the various number of people that will ply that road, and you put people through so much, you subject them to so much excruciating pain. Okay, and now that they've seen what it's like without the toll gate, nobody wants to suffer. I'm sorry, this is bad business. You've got bad business. So the Lagos State Government should find a way to compensate and subject these people. And it says it's all about toll collection. It says, I used to have been misled to believe that the LCC does its collection of tolls. It says it's a falsehood. It says that LCC is solely responsible for the recovery emergency service and 24-hour security patrol along the express road. That is probably debatable. Yes, and it says they are solely responsible for the manpower and operational costs of all the ancillary services. What ancillary services? At no cost to road users. No road, I repeat, no road in Nigeria today offers such. I'm not going to argue with him on that. He says that the Etiosa Lekki Ekpe Expressway is a world-class road infrastructure of reference in this jurisdiction. Now, who paid for the knockout of all those roundabouts on the road?
Yeah.
Okay, who paid for the knockout and redesign and who paid for that? That's a question we need to answer here. And then he says that he also talks about the ownership. He says, for the records, it is pertinent to note that as at December 2011, the shareholders of the company were African Infrastructure Investment Fund, AIIF. Who were the shareholders of this African Infrastructure Investment Fund? Then there was ARM and Larue Projects Company Limited, and High Tech Construction Limited. I don't know who are the persons. It would be nice if you could expand for us to know who the shareholders behind all these companies are. And then he now says that in December, this answers the question we've always asked, that in December 2014, the Lagos State Government acquired 100% shareholding in the company. Okay? That's what he says.
Yeah.
Then he now turns around to say that the shares were accordingly allotted as 75% to the Lagos State Government and 25% to the PPP office. I don't understand that.
The Lagos State Government acquired 100%.
So how come 75% to the Lagos State and 25% to the PPP office? So what are we talking about here?
So my reasoning will be that the Lagos State Government will not be involved in day-to-day running or anything.
Yes.
Whatever money that is made, the PPP takes from their 25%.
The LCC.
Yeah, and their whatever partners.
So why did he put PPP? Why didn't he put LCC?
Maybe there are other partners. I think there are other, partners that...
For me, in any case, I respectfully, Mr. Momunwason, respectfully... I would like to say that this is a matter beyond business. We are talking about the lives of our people. You had no reason putting a toll gate in that place. What it has done is to let our citizens go through excruciating pain.
Yeah.
Sometimes the traffic goes all the way to 1,004. Mm. Do you want us to start doing that on a daily basis again? If you say that Lagos State Government has acquired 100%, T1 in here now, that's our own. We don't want that toll gate there. Simple. You can put it somewhere else. But it is very unfair.
You know,
it is very unfair, and it is subjecting your citizens to the greatest pain to want to start tolling that road from that end again.
Hmm. You know, Patrick, your friend was here the other day when you were talking about, you
Which
know, traffic.
Patrick, and Adenusi.
Yes. And he said that originally the plan was even to put like 6 toll gates.
Yes, now.
On this stretch of the road.
Yes. You can see still at Chevron, there's another one. I mean.
No, not at Chevron.
No, yes. After Chevron.
After
Igboefon.
Igboefon, yes. That's Eleganza area.
That's Eleganza area, yes.
It's Chevron, you're right.
It's Chevron. Chevron. I know that area.
Papa, no.
Go away. Go away. But in all honesty, these are the things that we do to our own people for economic considerations.
Right.
Nobody, and I'm sorry to use such a strong word, in his right mind, would have put a toll gate there. It's a whole part of the state that you've knocked off, all the way from here to Ekpe. And what it means is that for you, if let's say two of us work in Nigeria Info, you live on this side of town, you don't pay toll. I live in Lekki, and I pay toll. What does that mean?
No justification. Yeah,
because the so-called alternate road itself, as we speak now, is almost like a disaster. Even with the road free, the alternate road itself sometimes still has traffic because there's loads of areas there that are bad. What Adenosi Patrick told me, and I believe, is that the alternate road must be as good as the toll road. Apart from the economics of people paying, which in itself is bad, considering our economic situation now, where you are not ready to place a premium on minimum wage. Apart from that, the added cost, it is the inconvenience that is most killing. Why do you want to subject your citizens to so much pain for economic considerations? The same economic consideration that made you remove your school of nursing from Awolowo Road, which was close to Creek Hospital, Island Maternity, Lagos General Hospital, and
Massachusetts Hospital, location.
And sent them to Igodo. Because according to Lai Mohammed, who was chief of staff then, he told me, I have it on tape, that it was economic because they looked at the value. And I told him, sir, you don't have a sense of history, and I'm very disappointed. I told him he was on air. We can't continue to do things for... Look at the building we had at what's it called? Is it Glover Road? You know, which should have been a monument. It was used as local government headquarters. This old colonial building should have been preserved as a monument, used as a library or museum. We demolished it and put a high rise. See what is going to happen to Ikoyi 10 years from now. Everything we do is always about economic consideration. Don't we have a sense of decency in good living? How would anybody put up an argument that you want to subject your citizens going to work and coming back to pain, going through a toll gate because whether it is the state or PPP or whatever it is, it is for their own economic considerations? I'm sorry, I don't buy it. I don't buy it all.
Okay. We'll try and sell something else to you. You'll buy.
No.
Well, we have to go now. This story here is quite inviting. A Okorocha boasts a presidential bid. 14x8 gets 70 million naira bail. Then there is another one here. Why military can't confront bandits? Islamic cleric held talks with... Okay, XDSS explaining that as well.
Okay. The Okorocha story in other climes would have been a big embarrassment. But in Nigeria, anything goes. What makes it even more embarrassing? Because what happened? The government sealed the building. Okorocha is accused of having breached that seal. And then somebody now writes in the story. Okorocha says the presidency intervened. Why should the presidency intervene in a criminal matter? It's just, you know, this is just... And the things that were listed against this gentleman... The list of assets that were listed against him, having been compromised from government post, listed against him. I'm not saying he did it, but even listed against him.
Jimmy, we must go now. We really must go. In a few words, what's coming up at 9?
At 9, I'm getting a female banker, female contract staff.
Okay.
Don't worry, you won't know her name. She won't even be in the studio. Look at YouTube, what you like. You won't see her. but I'm getting her to tell her story.
Okay.
We are going to start a campaign to sensitize our people of the need to stop this contract staffing at that level. We need to save our people, especially our ladies.
Mm.
These are mothers of, you know, future mothers. We need to save them from being lured into prostitution in any manner. We need to save them from being exploited so that they can have a career. You know, they can have a career. They can. These are people. It's okay when you just get tellers and say, pay them 30,000, 40,000. What if they were your children?
Yeah.
So yeah. We need to, I will kick off this campaign, and I hope that some people, the youth themselves, will pick it
we'll
up.
We'll pick it up.
We'll pick it up.
And run with it.
And let us see if we can stop this practice.
Jimmy, thank you so much for coming on. I appreciate it. Many thanks to our sponsors, MTN Nigeria. Now, let's talk the existential threats Nigeria is faced with. Olajide will be joining me in a moment after the news at 8. I'm Sherif Quadri.